watch Survivor, and when the show ends, you really wanna talk about it with like-minded friends. It might be hard to find some, but don't you shed a tear. Check out the Purple Rock Podcast, and this is what you'll hear. John will make some dumb jokes, and he likes to yell and curse, and if they're not available, the backup hosts are so much worse. Spend the whole time being jerks, telling you you're wrong, and so we got this other jerk to sing you our theme song. It's the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast.
Welcome to the Purple Rock Survivor Podcast. I am John, my co-host is Andy. This week, we are talking Survivor 46, Episode 9, entitled Spicy Jeff. And Andy, did you know that in England, they prefer extra mild Jeff? I make this incredibly stupid joke because extra mild is a real, actual thing that they do in England. Are you familiar? I assume they have this in Canada, like the old El Paso, like taco kits.
I feel like we just go to mild, but yes, we definitely have old El Paso taco kits.
So yeah. In America, we have mild, but apparently they tried to sell this in the UK and they were like, "Woo, too spicy for my blood."
Settle down there, Jose.
Yeah, it's the equivalent of like black pepper spicy. Like it's, you know, you're not burning your mouth on this stuff, you know? It's not going to be featured in an episode of Hot Ones. Like it's,
yeah, I mean, like mild is basically like tomatoes stuff as it is.
It's not much, but apparently the Brits were like, "Ooh, this is too much." And I saw at some point, I think on Reddit, that there was like extra mild in England. I'm like, come on, that's parody. I looked it up. That shit is real, Andy. See,
that's like, got to be ketchup, right?
It's like the little packet. It's like, what do they even put in there? I don't know. It's probably like sugar. I don't know. It just...
But you know what wasn't extra mild?
Tell me.
This episode of Survivor.
You're so correct. There were things happening. How'd you like this one?
It was solid. Like, I am not bored. You know, it moves. I am into it. It holds my attention. But, you know, like, we came off of, like, two really, you know, great episodes. Yes. I don't feel like this was that.
No,
but it's fine.
I mean, that's the thing is it didn't hit those highs, but those were high highs though, right? Like this was good. Mm-hmm. It definitely, for me, did not make me like think, oh God, 90 minutes. Like it, you know, it breezed by at a reasonable clip. I was enjoying myself for this one.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a part and parcel of the season that has been an enjoyable viewing experience thus far. It is going along with the one nagging thing that I've been bringing up a lot lately, which is at some point, are we going to see people play well? And at the end, I don't think I can really question anybody's decision. Well, I should say the decision of the people who decided the outcome of the episode. We certainly are going to question one person's decisions. But yeah, I'm still waiting on the impressive gameplay, you know?
Yeah. I still feel like there are some people who could do it, but you're not wrong in that, like, at some point, I need to see them do it, right? The talent needs to be realized, like, you know?
And I do fear that, like, there are people, I agree, there are people that I think have the ability to do it. But I'm not sure they're going to be able to in this way that the season has shaped up. I think there's just too much chaos and wild cards that it's how do you play a good hand of poker if somebody gets, you know, three jokers? Yeah. Which is one more than should be in a deck of cards and, you know, three more than should be in a game of poker, right?
Yeah, it's a really wild deck you got there. And we'll get into...
I chose the number three jokers very purposefully.
I know why. We'll get into later exactly the type of scenario that could come up. But I think, you know, for me, entertainment-wise, like, I loved Q trying to ask Kenzie if he could just tell her something and her just shutting him down. I think he's so used to being able to just, like, talk and her just saying, like, no, actually, I don't, like... directly saying, I don't want to hear you. We're not going to work together. I don't want to hear your bullshit. Like, it was great. And I think...
Yeah, but, you know, she did it. Right?
I mean,
he was trying to turn her against Tiffany, and what happened?
That's what I was going to say is, you know, she didn't hear him out, but she still did it. I think is also like the fourth or fifth episode in a row in which Q told us to cancel Christmas, which is just like, what a wild streak. The Grinch streak he's got going is impressive. He wants to make that his thing, saying cancel Christmas. I don't know why.
Big mistake.
That too. He's got some lines, yeah. This guy.
No, if we don't get good gameplay, it still won't make that. Won't necessarily make this a bad season. It could just be a bunch of wildness, and then, you know, maybe that was something. And in some ways, it may be a lesson to all. But we'll get there. I think for first, well, let's talk about the person who's decision making. We have some questions about.
Oh man. Yeah, Hunter just, you know, it was funny because some of the things in this episode did acknowledge the fact that he understood there was a correct thing to do, right? Like he was able to explicitly state the types of things that you would and would not want to do and the logical things that would make sense to do with an idol, particularly one that no one knows about. And, you know, I'm going to try to give him some form of credit before we shit all over him, which he richly deserves. But, like, you know, he has his idol. Unless all the votes are going to him, he can't just call a shot, right? Like, he did. Caleb got to do that. But, like, that's...
No, he didn't even, actually, because he didn't have a vote.
Oh, that's right. Because he played a shot in the dark. But I'm saying all the votes had come to Caleb. Like, that's very rare, even in these seasons where it's, you know, usually a fairly consensus vote. Like, you're not going to have someone playing an idol in that scenario. Like, it could have actually happened here, but, you know, Q exists. So, you can't count on that shit. And so, I guess his logic must have been, well, I can't just call the shot myself. I'll need to have other people. And so, he tries to bring these people in by saying, hey, I have an idol. And these are not his closest allies. Although,
no.
Does such a thing exist for Hunter anymore?
No, I mean, in doing this, he's trying to leverage against the people who earlier in the day seemed to be his best shot at having allies. And frankly, those people themselves were like, actually, I wouldn't mind working with Hunter, but, you know. So, yeah, no, like, I understand the impulse. I actually can understand a lot of what he did other than the thing he didn't do. Right. But it's all just, you can't, you know, it's like, so like he's trying to maximize the value of that idol, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. You know, it's what everybody who gets an idol wants to do. Right. But he's in such a weak position right now. Like his main partner just left, you know, 2 days prior. He's already just demonstrated what an overall powerhouse he is in, you know, challenges. And there's all this chaos. And he's like, again, he was part of a plan that actually seemed like it was legitimate. And that was my first worry. So while I'm watching, I'm actually motivated that I'd like Hunter to stick around. I'm not like, you know, he's not my absolute favorite. But frankly, I'm kind of hoping he plays the idol in a, you know, a successful way. It's been a while since we've seen that, right? And it's like, oh, yeah, no, like this Tiffany thing, it feels legitimate. It's probably good, but you can't get distracted by that. You got to play your idol, you know? So then there's that, and then they flip, and we'll get into that. And then it's like, oh, no, Hunter, you're going to be lulled into the sense of security by a plan that was active until, you know, situations change. But no, he picks up on it. It's like, okay, good. He's playing his idol. And then as soon as he's like, but I want to do more with it, it's like, oh, no.
Right.
No, there's no more for you to do here. There's like, and again, I actually didn't even mind him going to Q, because then it's like, well, maybe just if the two of us vote that way, maybe, because maybe the votes are all going to me, but his, right? Or two.
Right.
But it's like, you just can't care. You know, this is not the time to do something better with your idol. This is the time to keep you in the game with your idol.
Yes. Yeah. You don't swing for the fences. You just get on base. And it was...
Yeah, and I think a lot of people who, like, do more with their idol, for one, some of it they've already done the legwork, like alliance building, that sort of thing. Two, it's usually when they're not themselves in explicit danger. And yeah, it's just like he doesn't have any options, you know? And that you just have to stay and survive. You know that it's very likely that you would be a target in this situation. So don't be. Just survive.
And here's the thing. Like, we have seen his challenge prowess, right? In an array of challenges, like, he's done very well. If he's not winning...
They haven't even gotten to, like, a specialty. Like, the puzzles have not yet begun in the individual phase part.
Exactly. So at the very least... He's in the hunt for those, right? Yep. So if there's any sort of uncertainty as to whether you'll survive the vote, just play the idol. Like, an idol that you never play is just beats, right? Like, it's a theory of protection. An idol that you played wrongly offered you actual protection. You just didn't need it. Like, of the two options, the latter is the better one there.
Yeah, I get it. It probably sucks. You play it and there, and you didn't need it. And it's like, damn, I could have had this later, and I'm going to need it later. But it's like, yeah, but you need it now. You need it now. Don't worry about later, especially when you're you know? When you're somebody who has a very good chance of winning more immunities, when you're somebody who has a good chance of finding the rehidden idol. You just got to survive. And if you didn't know that, as soon as you start talking, like, as soon as it's like, well, I got to work with Venus and Liz to make this happen. That's right there. That's your red flag. Yep. That, you know what? This is not going to work. So I should just be safe. Okay, fine. He does it. He talks to them. Venus won't budge. He's not playing ball with you. You're sitting there begging. Oh, can you just play ball? Now you know you have to play the idol. Nothing like. And the problem is he just kept trying to take more information and see if he could do something more with it. And the answer is no.
Oh, and
you just got to play.
It got worse at tribal council, too, because he's sitting there and he's like looking for reassurance from all these people about their votes. If you need the reassurance, you have some doubt.
You have to play it. Yeah.
So, you know, like, you're not going to be faulted for having doubt there. Just play it. You are a legitimate threat at this point, you know. Yeah. Playing the idol, and it turns out, like, they flushed the idol. You got me, but I'm still in the game. So, fine. That's the better outcome. And as you say,
and what we don't know, that's right. Yeah. And what we don't know is what, if anything, Charlie and Maria told him before tribal council. Did they at some point also say that they were going to vote for Q? Or, like, are they still operating under the idea that Hunter believes we're voting for Tiffany? And that we are using him as a decoy vote for Tiffany. And if that's the case, like, play your idol and just vote Tiffany. And then what happened? What's the worst that happens? Oh, you guys were loyal and the plan was all along. But he, at this point, it feels like he's fully moved off that. He believes that that was a lie. Then if that's you believe it's a lie, you believe you got a non-trivial amount of votes coming your way. And all I'm thinking is, like, he has turned around the idea that, like, I'm going to win a one vote thing. That's too close a margin, man. Yep. You just got to play it.
Right. That's the thing, is if you're counting votes, it's already too close. So
now I'll say I can understand why he didn't, because he was sitting in that tribal council and he sat in the tribal council before. Like, I can understand sitting there and being like, yeah, it really does feel like they're voting out Q. You know, like, I can understand that. And that's why you just had to already make the decision that you were playing it and nothing else going on. Because, like, he verbalizes it. He's battling, is this real or is this a performance to trick me? And again, if you have that doubt, you got to play it.
Well, we can contrast his experience with Tiffany's, right? The other person who has an idol. Like, she starts the episode saying, like, well, I have an idol. I'm absolutely going to play it. Everyone knows that I have it. You know, Hunter, first of all, no one knows that he has the idol. He absolutely could have gotten away with playing it and everybody been like, wow, Hunter, we didn't even know. But Tiffany starts the episode and is saying she's going to play it. She, however, gets looped into plans. And it's sort of like Charlie a few weeks back where, you know, he's assuming he's going to be the target, but then he starts hearing multiple other targets and plans coming up and he's like, oh, I think I'm actually safe. And I think Tiffany sort of experienced the same thing. Like, oh, I'm in the loop. I'm hearing other targets. I think it's probably safe to not play my idol here. So I can understand that one. I feel like...
Well, I mean, the thing is, that's all results, right? Like, people are rightly criticizing Hunter for not playing it. Nobody's criticizing Tiffany for not playing, and it's because her name didn't come up. But we know for a fact that it was coming up, right?
It did once, but the...
So the, all it is she believes that she's got a read on where the situation is, and she was correct, but Hunter also believes that he has a read on it. The problem is we see the doubt and agony on him, so you don't really believe it that strong. Right. But she could have gotten blindsided. They were trying to blindside her, you know?
They were.
And two people did the same thing. They told people, I have an idol and I'm playing it tonight. Neither of them did, and it only cost one of them, you know?
Well, it only can cost one. You only vote out one at a time. Yeah, I think the difference with Tiffany is that, again, it's the Charlie thing from a few episodes. When you get multiple names coming your way, I think then it starts to feel like, no, you're actually in the midst of things. You're getting legit plans coming to you. I don't know.
Maybe in general, but the whole plan to vote out Tiffany was because there were multiple names out there that she would believe instead of her. Like, it was, the whole plan was she'll believe it's Hunter or Q, so this is the perfect time to blindside her. And it was just like, but her saying, I'm just going to play my idol, protected her. And what's funny is Hunter saying he's going to play his idol did not protect him.
Well, he also approached it differently. He's like, I'm going to play my idol. Come on, guys, help me out. Like, let's vote together and get some credit. Like, no, I mean, I think it plays out differently, too, if he just says, well, I'm playing my idol. And then they're like, oh, shit. Also, the difference here, too, is that there was secondary confirmation of Tiffany having an idol, right? Like, as far as we know, Hunter shows...
Yeah, that's actually a huge difference, yes.
Hunter shows the idol to nobody, right? He's just saying, that's like, right. I have an idol. And he even says to, like, Venus, you don't seem impressed or something. It was very good. And she's like, oh, yeah, no. But yeah, so it could be that his, oh, I have an idol, was just not convincing at all, right? But you could have proven them wrong.
I think you nailed it. They're all wanting to target Tiffany and blindside Tiffany because they know she has an idol. So as soon as she says, I'm going to play it, they're like, ah, no, that's what we were afraid of. Whereas they hear Hunter, yeah, I think there's like, well, let's see. And it goes to the whole fake idol thing that why I've said that they don't work. Because as soon as you start telling people that you're going to play an idol, like, and really, it's you doth protest too much, especially, again, if they don't know that you have an idol. People usually don't tell you that they're going to play an idol when they're going to play an idol, because the way about to do it is to just do it in silence, and then maybe things can go your way. So, yeah, I think his whole move to use the fact that he's playing an idol to get allies on his side, that feels fake.
Yes.
That feels like you're trying to bluff them. Whereas I think the benefit that Tiffany had, completely unbeknownst to her. So that's the thing I want to make clear. I don't think she deserves any credit for being able to keep her idol here. Is that she's just saying it, right? It's not a threat. It's not anything. She's like, I'm just going to throw this thing away. And they're all like, oh no, that's the one thing we're worried about. I also think that because hers came first, there was time to plan around it. What this Hunter news is like last second type stuff.
Yes.
Which was the one good part of his plan was that he told people, hoping presumably that they would have less time to turn around it on him. And in some ways, that's true. They didn't turn it around because they were already letting up voting for him, right?
Well,
so it's, hers doesn't feel like a threat because it isn't. It's the beauty of it. She's not threatening at all. She doesn't think any votes are coming her way. She thinks she's just wasting it. Whereas, yeah, Hunter's whole, I'm going to play an idol tonight, so you better vote with me. And the answer's like, well, I don't care. Yeah. As long as I have two votes, then what can you do?
And not only that, but like, who am I necessarily worried about you voting out? Like, I don't think you're voting out me, so go ahead.
Also, like, this is the easiest vote split in Survivor history, if you're going to really want to be serious about it. It's like, there's two of you we want to vote out, so you should play that thing, Hunter.
Absolutely.
I encourage it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I just said, like I can understand somebody being in that tribal council and being like, I'm going to be dumb for playing this thing, right? Like it's so obviously this guy. The thing about it is you just have to block all that out. None of that matters. All you know going ahead into it, no matter what happens tonight, I'm not going home. And actually what he should have done, and I think I've definitely mentioned this like in, you know, side conversations on comments. I don't know if I've ever said this here. If they're telling you the truth, your vote doesn't matter. Play your shot in the dark. That's your first shot. If it comes up safe, woohoo, you've kept your idol. If it comes up not safe, then you're like, okay, Jeff, now this. But he was in a unique situation. It's like he even knows, man. Like, what's your vote going to do here? You weren't able to flip it on Ben,
right,
with anyone.
Well,
but you,
yeah, one vote,
which didn't lose him the game. He was going out anyway.
Yeah.
You know, unless again. Because Q couldn't vote for himself. So there was no... All it would have been is Q, if Q was in on the plan to vote out Hunter, we could have avoided the trouble of a revote. Yep,
no revotes in this scenario.
So yeah, he should have thrown away his vote because the vote didn't matter. Either they're voting with you or not, but also it doesn't matter because you're going to be immune. Again, all he should have been worried about is surviving this one.
Yep.
And I think people get a little too excited to do as much as they can with the things that they get. And it's like, and again, it can be great. Some of the best Survivor ever. Some people have won by like really strategically using like an idol, but he was in too weak a position. The obvious threat, one of the few times he's going to lose, and he just lost his main ally 2 days ago. Like you have nothing. Survive now, and then who knows what happens after this.
So not only did he lose his main ally a couple days ago, but so at the beginning of the episode, I swear, and if it weren't for captions on the screen, I almost wanted to go back and listen to it again. I swear he was telling Venus that she was unlikable, but apparently he says unkillable. I'm like,
That was Q, I think, saying that, actually.
I thought it was Hunter himself saying
that. I've seen the scene more than once because I screen capped it for the episode. Okay. So the two of them were talking. Hunter's basically saying, you know, it's like, I didn't want to make anybody angry. You're always angry. And then they're going, blah, 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 blah. And then Q's just like trying to kind of basically cool the situation down. Like, you shouldn't be angry. V, you're unkillable.
Oh, see,
I kind of also don't feel like Hunter would even call her something as affectionate as just V. You know? Right.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. So that does lend the idea that it's Q. But I remember thinking at the time, like, did that just say unlikable or unkillable? No, apparently. According to the unkillable text on twice. Screen. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It was reiterated, which is, again, further evidence that it was Q, the man that says cancel Christmas, like every 30 seconds soundbite he gets.
Whereas Hunter really seems to dislike repeating anything or talking a lot to these people.
I, you know.
And that person in particular. I did enjoy, though, like, whatever, you're always mad. Like, it didn't work out. Here's the thing. Venus is 3-for-3.
Scoreboard.
That's right. Now, I mean, she didn't vote for him first off in the queue. I believe everybody but Liz did on the revote. So, yeah, it's scoreboard.
Yep.
Also, man, like, you know, when she was sitting there in Nami, she was like, all you guys are going to die. And look at where she is now. Yep. You know, I almost like, I can't like criticize her game anymore, even though she's been a passenger for all of that.
Hold your head high, Queen.
That's right. It's just. It doesn't have to be active. It could just be the curse, right? Mm. She threw a curse on them and then like, hey, man, just what's going to happen? But she's the close to being the last one standing.
But this does continue a trend, though, of just a complete disregard of the idea of doing the easy vote on this season, right? Like it every time it comes up like, oh, there's an easy vote here. But wait, what if, right? Like what is it about this group that won't let them take the easy vote? And I'm not complaining because, you know, there's been some recent seasons where I've been like, God, do we have to do the easy vote?
Yeah, I almost feel like I've boxed myself in for here with all of my comments in the past. I was like, come on, somebody do something. And now it's like a season of everybody's like, but I got to do something. And it's just like, oh, I don't know if I like this either, you know, and look, maybe
be some happy medium here.
Maybe it's not hypocrisy. Like, I really love hot fudge sundaes. I don't want it for breakfast or dinner. You know, like there's
moderation to these things. Right. Cause yeah, man, it's like, it's a lot, so, you know, and it's just because, and I think maybe probably why I don't like it just for my own sake is I kind of want some of those easy votes to go home, you know?
Well, and I think that's my biggest fear, right? Like when you keep leaving those easy votes, you know, who's left at the end? The easy votes. Like you're leaving the crappiest players for the end, which is something I absolutely don't want because it frequently happens in the more recent seasons of Survivor. And it's like this logic that like we can take out Q and Venus and Liz whenever. Okay, but eventually there are as many of them as there are of you, and you can't necessarily do that anymore. Like you need to take the action at some point, right?
Yeah. Now we are blessed in that like the two of the worst players are like wildly entertaining.
Yes.
But hi, Mac. I'm ready for the Q story to end. I feel like there's nowhere for it to go at this point. I feel like it's like a showcase series or Showtime series at this point.
It's just dragging on for seven more seasons.
Yeah, the reason for the whole plot and all that was resolved many like episodes, seasons ago. But they have some recognizable stars under contract, and they're not letting them go.
That's right.
And that's because like everybody here has basically taken the same approach with Q, which is, nah, I'm not doing it. I'm not playing with him. And, you know, bravo. If only some more people could just walk away from the craziness and the chaos of Q. They realize that the best way to deal with Q is to not give him oxygen.
Right. If only that were true in the real world as well. I think, you know, it also was pretty well spelled out when like they immediately start picking groups of three, and you know obviously Q is going to be left out of that and Venus also left out of that. I didn't quite have the impression previously how on the outs Liz might be. It's not surprising, but like I don't think it was a coincidence that very quickly two other groups of three formed and those were the leftovers.
Yeah, well, and kind of the way it does it. So, you know, Tiffany just immediately, like, Ben, you're with me and Kenzie as basically a shot that it's like, it's not going to be Q.
Yep.
So then the other three is like, well, I guess it's us. Like, because it's like, that's it. You know?
Well, it's not going to be one of them. So.
Oh, yeah, there's this other three, you know, the final three. Yeah, no, but it is telling. Like, this is, you know, what, the third or fourth episode in a row where somebody is putting, you know, mentioning a plan of like, this is the easy vote. You know, it was with Venus for multiple times with Venus. It was, you know, this time with, you know, Hunter or Q. I think it was Q probably because I think it started popping off before the challenge. And just literally they're like, but why would I do the easy vote though? You know, right. That isn't going to get me anything. It's like, well, no, it's going to get you farther in the game and it's going to remove an obstacle and delay, you know, the attacking of each other. Like, that's not nothing, but for it, it feels like almost everybody in this cast is like, no, that's of no benefit to me. To the point where I knew when, you know, Hunter was all anxious about using his idol in a specific way, it's like, well, damn, he's not going to use that to take out Venus. You know, it's like he's going to want to do something with it. And I'm like, well, yeah, but who's the comparable threat to you, Hunter?
Right.
And he had to come up with Ben, you know?
Which is a reach. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's because, like, Charlie, Maria, and Kenzie is still holding out hope that they'll be working with
exactly.
him.
Exactly. So. Yeah, and you kind of touched on something there, too, which is that, like, man, these people are obsessed with getting credit for a big move. Like, this is the Probstian dream come to life, right? Like, everybody is talking about resumes and big moves, which just...
And again, I'm kind of boxed in here because I have pushed back on the pushback of big moves, right?
Same.
The standard refrain from Survivor Internet is like, ah, you simpletons, you want stuff. And I've been like, no, man, I actually like it when people are doing stuff. So now we have this thing where everybody's like, yeah, no, it's got to be me. I even want to do the thing they're saying, but now I don't want it because somebody else suggested to me. It's like, man, that's so childish.
It's wild. It's like, this is a great idea, but somebody else came up with it, so we can't do it. It's like, what? Where's the fucking logic? But yeah, I think I've been very into watching how upset they are when they don't get their credit. Like these people would make great libertarians someday, like, or tech bros or something. Like they all want to claim the success and give no credit for the help of others. Like they just, it's gotta be me. I did it all by myself. Like there's no scenario.
Liz was distraught.
She was weeping.
Yes.
I mean,
not because only because Q was a distraction too. It's not like he stole the move. No. Even like the move went down.
Yep.
But nobody wants to talk about how great Liz is right now.
Right.
And that's the worst thing.
No one gave Liz her roses.
Ooh.
Yeah, I've also been entertained how the torch like passed from Venus to Tevin to Liz. Like those people all desperately needing credit. They were all on the same tribe at the beginning, Andy. Can you imagine how fucking obnoxious that tribe must have been?
Yeah, I mean, it really tells you how bad Yanu was that like they were able to keep Nami together. Because right. That tribe was just ready to just blow up. And they have, but they had to wait till they got like for the chance,
yep.
You know?
Yeah.
No, it is pretty crazy because it's like, you know, that you actually don't want the credit right now because that makes you the next target, but no, not for them.
No.
And in some ways, like I can get it for Liz. I can understand a bit, not her outsized reaction other than if I want to be like, that's what happens when you sign off for eating nothing is, yeah, maybe yep. It's tougher to, you know, deal with regulate. These things. But I can see like what could also be going for somebody like Liz is like, I don't want to be seen as the goat. I don't want to be seen as the older lady who isn't doing anything. So I needed to do something. But yeah, what do you want here? You want to be the next target? It's, you need like some people know that you it was your plan, but maybe just Venus. So who cares?
Right.
And of course, Venus won't see it that way.
Yeah.
So it is a tough thing because I do think she will need like to change the perception of her. But the way she was just like, oh, it's all over because of the way Q acted. It's like, oh, it's not so bad. You know, you got what you wanted. I always wonder if it was almost buyer's remorse. It's like, well, if I knew I wasn't getting credit, maybe I would have just kept somebody who was my ally for a little longer.
Right. I just, the, like, you're not wrong in that she's going to have to do something to get people to take her seriously. But like, you know, you could still build on what you just did. Like, you got a vote to go your way. Yes, there was an enormous distraction that took place from your credit, for sure, no doubt. But like, there's still time left in the game. You've got a W on the board. Like now, you can go for more. You can start building that resume. You don't, you know. I think the weird thing here is that these people are like, yeah, I need to get my one big thing on the resume. It's like, well, you know what. The game's going to continue, right? Like, you're not just going to have, like, the one bullet point under work experience. You need to have, like, something more fleshed out.
I feel like they're all going for it a little too early, too. Not just in the way that that opens up tremendous risk to themselves, but in the way that it's like, are you sure that was you? Are you sure everybody's going to know that was you? Because like 9 people voted that way,
yeah.
You know, like I think it has more impact later in the game when there's less credit to, you know, share.
Right. Like if you,
but yeah, I mean,
if you pull off like a, you know, a 4-3 flipped vote at the end when they thought it was going to be like a unanimous thing, it's like, oh, this shit, you were really a prime mover in that vote. You know, when you had like 8 people all voting against one person, like that's, was it your plan? Okay, sure. We were probably all on board anyway.
There's some simultaneous planning going on. And yeah, so then it's not just her, you know? So Kenzie approaches Maria and Charlie with her plan, which is of course the only plan anybody in the season has. And that is, I want to vote out my number one ally.
Right.
And
wild.
Instead of being like, oh my God, I can't believe my tremendous luck, Maria's like, well, I wanted to get rid of Tiffany, but now Kenzie's going to think it was her idea.
Oh, I can't, you know, why don't these people have a that's a freebie attitude, right? Like, oh shit, that fell into my lap. Well, I'm not going to accept this gift. Like, ridiculous. I don't understand it. It just, you would assume that it would be difficult to get Kenzie on your side to vote out Tiffany. And it just fell into your lap. And then you're like, well, now I don't want it. Where is the logic?
Yeah. So with all that, God bless Charlie.
Yes.
Because he was like, no, no, it's good. This is a good thing. Yes. We should do this and not worry about that right now.
We'll get the credit later.
Yeah. When, like, we're still here, this is going to make Kenzie, you know, a bigger target. Like, this is an absolute win here. Buck up, Maria.
Right.
And honestly, just that and some of the other stuff, I'm starting to really become Team Charlie. And I think also, I said a bit last week, he feels even more so now as like my best hope of somebody being like, yeah, that guy really played this thing.
Yep.
And as part of it is, yeah, his ego isn't as fragile as everybody else's. And that's really helpful.
I mean, the thing is, he could have an enormous ego too. But
oh, sure.
It's the amount, the time when you play that up, right? Like, again, it's just the tallest blade of grass is going to get cut by the lawnmower. It's like the thing.
These people are insuring it with their whole concepts of reluctance to do the easy vote.
Right. Like,
all right, Hunter's gone. Who's the next easy vote? Because you guys have already decided it's not Q. So who's next? Who is the big target that you're going to make your name on?
Right. If you're trying to make big moves, you're going to need big targets. So thus, making a big move makes you the big target for somebody else's big move. Like, that's how cycle goes.
Literally, who is next? I think it's Tiffany or Kenzie, right? Or Charlie or Maria. Like, it's not Venus, it's not Liz, it's not Q. You guys have all decided it's not them,
right?
You know?
No one's going to give you any respect or credit for taking out the easy votes. So you just...
You yourself have decided that you're not going to get credit for it. And I imagine you're not going to give it.
Right. You've set the metrics. It's an
interesting place they put themselves in, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, and it should be noted, of course, Charlie probably doesn't feel the same pressure Liz does or
yes.
You know, Venus does to, you know, be seen as somebody doing stuff. He is somebody who will be assumed credit at a certain point, you know, and can probably speak of it even when it's not always true, you know? So yes, I will. Maria, same deal, you know, that she would have concerns that Charlie does not have.
Right.
So, you know, I will acknowledge that he has that and thus maybe allows him to play a little more level-headed, but he is playing a little more level-headed, so I got to give him credit for that.
Also, you made a point, too, about how, why is it always the number one ally that has to go, right? Like, why is this weird. The thing? I don't...
And this isn't...
What is making this happen? Because... You would assume, you know, like there was a point earlier in the season where Charlie had Maria as his number one ally, but also like had a budding relationship with Ben. So you can maybe see like, oh, at that point, if Charlie flips on Maria because, you know, he feels like he has a new number one in Ben. Okay, maybe that makes sense. At this point, say Kenzie flips on Tiffany. Who's her new number one?
I mean, I feel like she thinks it's Ben.
Right?
That's the whole thing. That's why, again, I think Charlie's a very well positioned. His move hasn't been, okay, yeah, but how would I cut the person who isn't voting for me? Because I got to get them before they get me. And yeah, I think it's just all part of this cast of I can't do something easy. I need something I can take credit for. Well, what would make me a bigger killer and catch more people's attention than cutting off my main ally, you know, executing a huge blindside? And it's like, okay, but what's the next step? You know, I'm not opposed to it. And, you know, certainly for some people, you got to do it when you have the chance, because you're not always going to have the chance. It was the absolute right move for everybody to vote out Hunter, because you might not get another chance. I'm not 100% sure he would have won in a final three. Obviously, it all depends on who's with him, but I'm just not sure that this group would necessarily have respected a guy who basically got the end just by winning challenges
right. And
you know, idols. I don't feel like it's the way they necessarily view the game, but who knows?
Well, I mean,
still, it was good to do.
Yeah, judging by the sorts of things that they've said about resumes, I don't think they're highly valuing challenge prowess.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so it's all like they need to do this, and yeah, it's just like it's. I guess they think that this person was smart enough to team up with me, so that makes them too dangerous. Big mistake. Big mistake.
Big mistake. You presented a absolute nightmare scenario to me, and that is that there is a possibility of a final three of Q, Venus, and Liz. Like, if you play this out to its logical extreme, right, the avoidance of the easy vote, that there leaves a future in which that's a possible final three. And, like, I can't rule it out. And, like, I hadn't thought of it until I saw it written down and you sent it to me. And I was like, oh, God, are you just trying to depress me about this? I'm enjoying this season. Why would you do this to me?
Yeah. So, like, I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm not in that, oh, we're doomed now. In the way I was like, we're doomed. It's going to be those four to the end or near end, yes. Which I was right about, yeah, by the way.
Of course.
But I think it's far more likely than I would have assumed it would be the case, like last week even, right? And it's just, again, the way that, like, it feels like anytime somebody suggests one of those, nobody's suggesting Liz, so Venus or Q at this point, people are like, yeah, but why would I do that? Like, there's no skill in taking out one of those. You know, that's, we could do that later. And it's like, man, we're running out of later here, folks. And if everybody has the idea that, like, they're going to go to the final two with two of those people, you might, like, the final four is a crapshoot.
Yep.
In modern Survivor, you do not have control over that. Somebody can win immunity. Somebody can win fire. It could be them. The one thing I we have no evidence that any of those three people can start fire, but who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Liz. I don't know. But yeah, man, like, it could get that way. And honestly, I don't know that it would ruin the season.
Well,
I wrote this in comments in that, like, this has been an enjoyable season, right? Like, I think we can say that for most people, for myself, for you.
Yes. But let's play this out, though. Like,
how much of that has been based on good gameplay, though, right? So, like, if we end up, like, going a whole season where, like, these dummies let those three be in the end, it's like, you know what?
I mean, par for the course. So if that happens, maybe. That is exactly what you'd referenced previously, which is, like, a more entertaining Gabon with less shitty people, yes. Right? Like, that's what this would be. But, yeah, let's play this out. What? I don't even want to encourage this thought, but, like, if those three are in the finals, who's winning that? Because I think I know, and it's, I mean, none of them are good answers, but I feel like I would lean towards one over the others.
Yeah, I don't, I'm going to say, I think I know who wouldn't win.
Okay.
And that's Venus.
Oh,
shit.
That's who I would think would win.
I just think these people dislike her to too great a degree. I think Q annoys them, but I think if he hangs around that long, he'll have won some people back over. Oh. I'm not saying enough to win. But, like, I'm not sure he's somebody you can stay mad at, you know? Mm. Whereas it feels like everybody's basic way of dealing with Venus has been to just shuffle her off to the side. And that's obviously what they did at Nami, but have you gotten the impression that everybody else is building connections with her between now and then?
No, but that's the thing is, I think no one is going to respect Liz. Although, you know, that's the problem.
I think Liz is who would win. I think just she'd be the default choice. She'd be the Gabler. It's like, you know what? Like, I can't stomach the idea of voting for Venus. I can't give that smug young woman the satisfaction.
Yeah. I can picture Maria.
And she would smug it all the way up in that final. Okay. And then they're like, okay, but, and Q, like, messed everything up for all of us. Like, I can't stand it. Like, I do not stand for this buffoonery. Or shenanigans. So I was like, I guess it's Liz then. Here's another $1 million. You know, she did go, you know, a month without eating. Like, you'd find something, right? Maybe she got there. Maybe she started the fire, right? And then everybody can panic. It's like, see, the fire making's too powerful. You win the money now because you win fire. It's like, well, no. It's just because, like, that's what Gabler. They got to pick a reason, you know?
Right. Can you imagine?
Like, well, he did that. Now, there's no reason to vote for any three of these people, so fire, sure, you.
Can you imagine what someone with an ego like Liz would do if she won? Like, she'd probably try to go on every random Survivor podcast she could in order to get like people to like, you know, make her like some beloved Survivor winner, because she doesn't need the money, Andy. She made that pretty clear. She's like Banu. She just wants to win a million hearts. So I can picture her in that scenario. If she was like someone who won, being like, yeah, I'm going to just go get interviewed by all the Survivor podcasts and feel like Survivor royalty.
You know, we should like, you know, it'd be the funniest thing we could do. Like there's just suicide pact. If she wins.
Oh.
We booked that in.
No.
No, I know. It feels like that, but that's not like a reverse jinx. That's like jinxing ourselves. So.
Exactly.
Although, I guess, over acts that have already happened. Like, we can't send that juju into the universe unless we had an hourglass to set to turn.
That's what I was going to say. Don't put that out into the universe. Come on. Oh, I would be calling in sick that day.
But, like, again, I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. But if it does, I can't be like, oh, where'd that come from? It's because these people refusing to vote any of them out ever. That's how you get that, you know? These people whose, you know, idea of the ideal, the perfect Survivor strategy is to vote out your own ally. Well, nobody's allied with those three, so they're never going to target them. But I do think that the most likely thing that will save us from that is the duo of Charlie and Maria.
So,
and I think they're in the best position of anyone in the game right now.
Right. I think they're your clear leaders right now.
And I think a big thing that's been helping them is that they, in this, you know, sea of craziness and of all these, you know, big egos, everybody trying to do stuff, they feel like the level-headed, approachable ones. And so everybody's coming to them when they're looking to execute all their big plans. Well, Charlie and Maria will listen to me. You know, they're good. And while we now know when they go away, Maria's being like, but where's my credit, though? If you've seen the secret scenes, she's 100% convinced that Ben has an idol and he's awful for lying to her about it. The idol that left with Jem. So, like, Maria actually isn't that level-headed, but in this group, she qualifies.
Right, that's the thing. It's relative, right? You know, you have to consider who she's being compared against.
But yeah, like Hunter's going to them. Kenzie's going to them. Tiffany, you voted with them. So clearly, yeah, and they have that relationship about sharing the information about her idol. They're the spoke.
Yeah. I mean, I think probably next in line, like position wise, is Kenzie, just because she seems like she's still able to have some relationship. We've even seen her like talking to Venus and stuff. Like, not that they have some big relationship or anything, but like, you know, she's got a relationship with Ben. She can at least talk to Venus. She's obviously clearly talking to Charlie and Maria. She's still buddies with Tiffany. Tiffany doesn't know that Kenzie tried to backstab her. So, you know, she's still in an okay spot, but I do agree with you that Charlie and Maria are one and two at this point.
Here's the danger she's in. Tiffany still has an idol. What if Tiffany next week's like, okay, well, now I'm going to burn this idol. You know, I didn't do it last week because we knew about the Hunter thing and all of that. I would have played it if Hunter played his, which he told us.
Yeah, which I think was her plan, yes.
So what if they're again like, well, crap, we can't vote for Tiffany. Okay, well, there's no point in voting for Q, Venus or Liz. Ben and are Charlie and Maria going to vote for Ben, who Maria also thinks has an idol? Or... it's like, well, let's just vote out Kenzie then, because she's proven she's pretty dangerous. Big mistake, you know?
Yeah.
what value is her loyalty, you know? She's demonstrated there's none.
You know what I'm going to do if they vote out Kenzie next week? I'm going to cancel Christmas, Andy. That's...
You know what? If they vote out Kenzie next week, I'm not coming on the podcast.
Oh, okay. I'm going to... let me write that down. Andy, no. Got it. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
Hey, the other thing that came up in this episode was we got a little taste of Spicy Jeff. How'd you enjoy your Spicy Jeff this week?
It was not Extra Mild Jeff, and I'm for it. You know, when he was, you know, putting these guys on blast, you know, saying, you're most likely going to lose. My wife was deeply offended for those people, and I was just like, yeah.
Get him.
Go off, King.
Drag him, King. I think, you know, if you've watched this show for a long time, like, you know what you're getting with Jeff Probst. Like, I don't think you can complain about what he brings to the show anymore because, like,
well, you can and people.
I mean, they do. They shouldn't.
Don't take that from them, John.
I'm just saying, like, he's part of the show and part of you accept the Probst element of this show. He does some corny shit, like he's going to bring his little comfy cushion to sit on and some popcorn. Like, going to be just a little bit extra, like draw some attention to himself, even though, like, you know, we know you're the host of the show. You've been doing it for 20 years, Jeff. We know. Just it, talking shit in the challenge both this week and last week. Like, you know, last week he was saying that he could last longer than 20 seconds in the challenge. And you know, this week he's betting against Q's group. Like, you know, this is the Jeff. It's actually like Jeff Probst just turned up a notch, though, you know, just a little something extra.
Well, it's funny because, like, the feedback he's been getting recently, and, you know, in preseason interviews, he's admitted this such that, like, he'd gone too soft. And, you know, we saw that last year when, you know, two people basically quit. And he's all like, ah, shucks, it's fine. I get it. So he's like, he's heard that feedback. So and now he's like, no, I'm going to toughen up again. But it's like it doesn't have the same bite anymore. You know, like he's and frankly, I think that makes it a little more enjoyable. Right. Like he's obviously like he's just joshing you. You know, just, it's a smile. You know,
Uncle Jeff's giving you a little poke, just teasing you.
A little ribbon here.
Yeah.
We're all friends. Prove me wrong. And you know what? I'm for it, man. Do it.
Yes. I mean, again, this is the corny Jeff Probst that you've always expected from this show. He's just back, you know. He's got his old mojo back.
That's right. And if you take offense for it, that's cool. Like that's part of it, man. It's part of the experience. If I bet you've missed not being able to be morally outraged by the, you know, primary figure of your one of your favorite entertainment properties.
This, you know, like again, this is the Jeff you sign up for. This is the guy who wants you to give him analogies, right? Like he wants an analogy at every single tribal council. He like wants to put words in your mouth about how you're feeling and have you parrot them back to him. Like this is just who this guy is. It's not new.
Like, and I feel like him talking shit this season to the, you know, mild degrees that he has, it's spicy, but it's not like, you know, you're not putting like three tamales on the menu for what he's been giving you.
It's extra mild, Jeff.
I think it's one tamale, you know? Like the English couldn't handle you.
No, of course
not. Although I mean well with the metaphor that you opened up with. But actually, like English hosts are always like talking shit with people. Like that's the way the English interact with people.
That's true.
They take the piss, right?
I mean, you know, have you seen Naked Attraction?
No, I mean I haven't seen either. But I've seen Alan Cumming on the Strangers, or not the Strangers. That would be an interesting show.
You know, I know
Traitors,
it, Andy,
and he's amazing.
I know it's his name, but really, that is a response to me asking if you've seen Naked Attraction. It was just like, are we not doing phrasing anymore? Because come on, I've also seen Alan Cumming. No thanks. I watched one episode of that
was
show.
Was he a contestant on Naked and Afraid? All right.
Anyway, hey, let's move on to hey, speaking of corny shit, let's do our own corny
bit.
Shit. You know, this is what the people want, Andy. They want us to do a top three. And it was tough to do this week. There was not a musical reference. However, there was a movie reference. You may recall, I believe it was Ben was talking about some Jurassic Park. So
that's
Andy,
right.
When
referencing Hunter, you don't want to let the T-Rex come back or something for the sequel.
That's right. So, you know.
But here's the deal. I'm not going to participate in movie discussions with John. At least not this kind of movie discussion. The kind we do is, hey, make us amused by your complete lack of knowledge of movies. Like, that's how that goes. Also, like, there's technically three Jurassic Park movies. There's six in the Jurassic franchise. There's one good one. That's the
whole
list.
I've seen the one. Is that the first one?
Yeah,
I've seen that one.
I've seen all of them multiple times.
Oh, lucky you.
I have an 11-year-old son. Yeah, so we're not doing that. So then people, you know, as is want, but as the popularity of this segment starts, you know, turning down, it's like, well, yeah, they can't do that. What about dinosaurs? And I think people are onto something there. What do you think?
Yeah, I say we should do our top three raptors.
All right, I'm going to start. And with number three, I'm going to go with Vince Carter.
Ooh, interesting choice.
Yeah, so obviously Vince Carter made the Raptors actually exciting to everybody in the NBA for probably the first time in their history. Obviously, us Raptor fans enjoyed Damon Stoudemire, Mighty Mouse, winner of the Rookie of the Year. But no, it wasn't the same. Like, Vince was the most exciting thing in the NBA, and he was with Toronto. You might then think, why only three? Well, it was a pretty brutal breakup. He basically quit on the team. And I'm not somebody who actually even, like, you know, players don't want to be with their employer. It's fine. But, like, he was tanking games so that they would trade him for, like, nothing. The big headliner in the return for Vince Carter was Alonzo Mourning, who refused to report. It was tough. Tough stuff.
Yes.
But time heals those wounds. And now Raptors fans can be like, it was pretty cool that we were cool because of Vince Carter.
Right.
So that's why I got it number three.
Now you can have throwbacks and everybody's cool with that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So see, it's a slightly different perspective for me as the non-Canadian, non-Raptors fan. My number three, Kawhi Leonard. His star may not have burned long, Andy, but it burned bright. And you know, you got memories out of Kawhi, what, like one or two specifically, the rim rattling shot you had of course, the championship and the cutting down the net. Didn't they do that? Cut down the net. I feel like,
no, I feel like that's a college basketball thing. Yeah, you're a big time NBA right. fan.
Hey, you know, I just, for some reason I had like one of those Berenstain Bears memories or Fruit of the Loom logo memories just pop into my head where I was like, I feel like Kawhi cut down the net for some reason. It didn't happen. It's not a real thing.
So, since you brought it up, I do want, since I have a platform, however many people listen, Kawhi shot while winning them the series against Philadelphia, did not pull them from behind. There's become this big revisionist history, probably led by the American media, that if were it not for four lucky bounces, Philadelphia would have moved out of the second round for what would have been the only time in the Embiid era, the only time in the post-process era. The score was fucking tied.
Yeah.
Okay? It would have gone into overtime, game seven in Toronto. Ben Simmons, who at the time was still a contributing player, had five fouls. And with everything we've seen since then, you're going to tell me that the Philadelphia 76ers would have pulled up and did the clutch thing they needed in that scenario? No.
This is important detail to add to a Survivor podcast.
It's very, I don't care. Clip this, play it. I'm tired of people pretending that, like, if not for four bounces, Joel Embiid would be a champion. No.
All right.
He would have had a chance in 5 minutes on the road to win. And we know what Kawhi Leonard has done in his playoff career. And we know what Joel Embiid has done in his playoff career. And we really know what Ben Simmons has done in his playoff career. So there we go.
You're just really trying to angry up Matt. I appreciate it.
Now, they did have Jimmy Butler. He's been pretty good in the playoffs.
Has he? I'm unaware.
Not as good as Kawhi. All right. So, yeah, I just mentioned it now because Kawhi is not in my top three. And I should just kind of quickly, I'm a Toronto Raptors fan, but they're not my favorite NBA team. They're like my second. It's the connection, you know, the nationalism, all of that. But, you know, I'm old. I was already an NBA fan prior to the existence of the Toronto Raptors. I did not, like, abandon my main fandom. Why would I? That one is like the only thing I've ever cheered for in sports that continues to win all the time. Like, oh, I'm having too much fun with the Lakers being, you know, exciting and winning championships. Let me stick with, you know, Alvin Williams and the Raptors. Mm. Nah, it's, you know. But a little funny subplot to me is before the Raptors came into existence, so they'd been like Toronto had been awarded a franchise, so had Vancouver.
Yes.
So, you know, as far as Canadians go,
the Grizzlies.
It wasn't like it was an emotic thing, but one of my favorite NBA players was Isaiah Thomas. He was the president of the Raptors. So, of the two, I was going to gravitate towards the Raptors. Not like that worked out so well.
No.
But anyway. So they actually, well, they went around Canada to try and, like, you know, obviously just like some grassroots building, but presume the what they were pretending to be doing is letting Canadians help pick the name of the franchise. So they came to my high school,
Ooh.
Which is nowhere near Toronto, by the way. Like, honestly, if I was just picking localized things, like, Vancouver would have been the easier choice. But, you know, the Raptors had Damon Stoudamire and the Grizzlies had, you know,
big country.
And again, the Isaiah Thomas connection. So, yeah, they actually did come to, and, like, I should know now, like, Toronto is nowhere near the closest NBA city to me, but borders matter.
Mm-hmm.
So they like laid out like 8 different basketballs with like names on them, and they had us like vote just by cheers. I imagine counting would have taken forever, and other technology like didn't exist. There's like they could have like quickly done it digitally. They would have had to like read off slips of paper. Yeah. And here's what's interesting, if any of this is, but it's my podcast. Raptors, not really a popular choice at all amongst the high school students. Yeah, I think the bigger one was like something like Bobcats or something, like something within that realm. Wow. And then like they had to talk about like the difficulties of something like that, because it's hard to like copyright a logo when you have like already two Panthers in professional sports, plus like Cougars and NCAA, Nittany Lions, all of that. Interestingly, though, the Bobcats would eventually become an NBA franchise.
Yep. Temporarily.
But
they're like,
but why don't... Yeah. And it was actually just the nickname of the then owner.
Yep.
Yeah. So they were like, but why not the Raptors, though? Like, they, it was clear once they started getting into this, like, they're not really polling us. They've made their choice and then, you know, and putting the thumb on the scales. And like, it was interesting that like a bunch of like high school students, one of the core demographics they're probably going after here, we had to tell them that it's like, well, it's kind of corny, isn't it? Like, you're just jumping on the trend. Like, teams of, like, we feel that names of sports teams should be a little more timeless than what was the popular blockbuster movie that just came out, which is why we're doing Raptors here. Jurassic Park equals Raptors. That's the only reason why they were naming themselves Raptors. I think they even presented T-Rex as one of the options, and, like, that was more popular because it's like, well, we've heard of a T-Rex. Before Jurassic Park the movie, nobody had heard of a raptor,
right?
Unless you were a dinosaur nerd. Like, me growing up, why we're not doing top 3 dinosaurs besides just a troll is like, there were 5 dinosaurs,
yeah.
You know? Like, there were more, obviously. Like, I'm not that old. Like, they had discovered more. But, like, if they didn't transform into an Autobot, I really didn't know much about them.
That was the metric.
So then it was like, yeah, and so we were right. And for the longest time, that the Toronto was called the Raptors was a joke, right? It was a thing that like a lot of Toronto fans were like, yeah, I know. And, you know, it had the Barney, you know, association and everybody else. But once they started winning, it's like, well, I guess we're the Raptors now.
Right.
So,
I mean,
it was just kind of interesting to me that like we as high school students could understand like you shouldn't be like looking for something trendy for your branding that, you know, presumably should last forever. And they were just all like, but no, but I really think that Raptors has a lot of pop to it.
Do you think that if they were doing that now, they would try to name themselves Toronto Swifties?
Maybe. Like, imagine what they would have gone for if it, like, just got the franchise after Avatar or something came out.
Oh, no.
Now, I will say, in modern sports now, all the new names are terrible. And it's all about trademarking.
Right.
You don't want anything that could resemble something else, because you don't want to just trademark the name. You want to trademark the looks, and, you know, and then you need alternate logos and the whole deal. Anyway, I believe I'm number 2.
Yeah, so I was going to say, we've gone so far off the rails here. Let's get back to number 2.
Pascal Siakam's my number 2. He won the championship with the team, and it's something just about having your own homegrown talent, as opposed to like a mercenary talent like Kawhi Leonard, who I'm grateful for. It was a great business relationship, but it's not like, you know, he ever warmed to us or we ever warmed to him. No anger. You did the job and you moved on. We kind of knew that's the way it was going to be, and, you know. Yes,
and
we wouldn't have done it without him.
He gave you an amazing press conference where he kind of laughed.
Kind of laughed, yeah.
Sort of.
The great clips of like him give like Norman Powell holding out like a fist bump, and he's just like pointing like, "Loma, let's go play." And it's all like, "Ha ha ha!" That Kawhi, but also it's like, yeah, just fist bump your team.
Right.
What a kind of fucking weirdo alien are you? So, I know. So it's like it was great, like. We couldn't have won it. It's a weird thing where we were one superstar away from a championship. But, like,
Pascal was like terrible when he started and he just kept getting better. And then, you know, because he was with Toronto, nobody cared how good he was. It was always like this great insult when trade talks would go around and they were like, well, how about Pascal Siakam? I was like, whatever. What's he ever done? All NBA twice in 4 years. That's actually really good. That's like 15 guys and he's been one of them twice. But, you know, nobody cares about what happens up in Canada.
Nope. See, my number two, I suspect, might also be on your list, and that's Kyle Lowry, because I enjoyed the period where serious NBA people were unsure of how they should broach the subject of his enormous ass. It was fantastic. There were multiple basketball guys just saying, like, you know, for a not a larger guy, Lowry really just, you know, he takes up some space in the post. And they like
can't knock them down,
right? Yeah, you can just really back guys down. It's like, why is that again? Are we gonna talk about this? It's just like the elephant in the room. Yeah.
And
also
then it became the thing.
You know, genuinely like good player, fun to watch, leader of that team. Eventually came and played for my team when he was washed. But yeah, you know, whatever.
And now he's still starting. Which is weird. Or maybe he's not starting now, but he's playing major minutes for a quasi-contender.
Sure.
And who knows? Yeah, no, he's my number one. If you're a Raptors fan, like 95% chance he's your number one.
Yeah.
And what's great is if you're not a Raptors fan, he wouldn't be. For two reasons. One, like you just can't understand the impact that he had on the franchise, on the fandom from the outside looking in. And also, like, he's one of those players that's just annoying as fuck if you're not rooting for the team, right? He was out there drawing charges all the time and stuff, including in All-Star games, which was the last All-Star game that was entertaining. So, you know, you're welcome. It's actually cool when franchises have, like, a guy like that. That, like, maybe other people don't get it, but he's your guy.
I mean,
he is.
I'm a Heat fan. So I am familiar with having guys on your team that other people don't like. So, you know, I get it.
And here's the thing. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. I know it doesn't feel like it, and again, especially if you're not in Toronto, but the thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame is it's actually not that hard to get into. Yeah, if you're debating at all whether somebody is a Hall of Famer or not, they probably are. But another thing is almost every champion gets two. So, he means more to the Raptors than anybody else, in part because he helped legitimize us. We were the franchise that everybody left, right? Vince tanked to get out of there. Bosch couldn't wait to get out of there. McGrady left. He was somebody's like, oh man, I'm good here. And then he won.
Yep.
And it was very exciting.
Yep.
And you're number one?
I wonder if you thought I was going to go Bosch, but no, I went with Vince Carter because,
of course,
you know, just it's kind of that thing you said where it's like, yes, he did obviously go on to play elsewhere. The man played like 27 years or something. Like, he's probably still in the league somewhere. Who knows? But like, I do still think of him in those Raptors years, in the dunk contests and like the Olympics.
The dunk contest is one of the coolest things that happened in our generation.
Exactly. So that kind of like locks him in place with the Raptors, even though obviously he went on to have a very good career with various other teams, including the Nets. But he's my number one for Raptors.
All right. So everybody share your top three Raptors. I wonder if anybody has like Blue from the Jurassic World series.
This is going to be great.
Yeah, he got a lot of stuff done. It was good. Raptors, of course, another word for, you know, a bird of prey. You know, have fun with it. But, you know, Kyle Lowry should be at number one. And you can do that on our website at purplerockpodcast.com. You can send us emails if you need to, purplerockpodcast@gmail.com. Anything else?
Nope. Hit some theme music.
This is the copyright-free outro to the Purple Rock Survivor podcast. Thanks for listening.